Hello and welcome to The Grove. Today we'll be looking at Huế, the visionary. Huế is a brooding painter who creates brilliant art in order to confront Ionia's criminals and comfort their victims. Beneath his melancholy rolls a torn, emotional mind, haunted by both the vibrant visions of his imagination and the gruesome memories of his temple's massacre. Huế seeks to understand this light and dark, which drives him inevitably towards the artist who unraveled him. With paintbrush and palette, Huế shapes endless possibilities as he draws ever closer to earning closure or embracing despair. Huế is from Ionia. Surrounded by treacherous seas, Ionia is composed of a number of allied provinces scattered across a massive archipelago, known to many as the First Lands. Since Ionian culture has long been shaped by the pursuit of balance in all things, the border between the material and spirit realm tends to be more permeable here, especially in the wild forests and mountains. Although these lands' enchantments can be fickle, its creatures dangerous and fey. For many centuries, most Ionians led lives of plenty. The warrior monasteries, provincial militias, and even Ionia itself had been enough to protect them. But that ended 12 years ago when Noxus attacked the First Lands. The Empire's seemingly endless war hosts savaged Ionia, and were only defeated after many years and at great cost. Now, Ionia exists in an uneasy peace. Different reactions to the war have divided the region. Some groups, such as the Sojin monks or the Kinku, seek a return to isolationist pacifism and pastoral traditions. Other more radical factions, such as the Navori Brotherhood and the Order of Shadow, demand a militarization of the land's magic to create a single, unified nation that can take vengeance on Noxus. The fate of Ionia hangs in a delicate balance that few are willing to overturn, but all can feel shifting uneasily beneath their feet. In northwest Ionia, the island of Quehien once stood beautiful and serene. Among its golden sands, seasonal bazaar, and quaint mill town sat the Temple of Quehien, an ancient and renowned conservatory for the arts. Lukai Huế was born to inherit this temple. Kind and precocious, Huế spent his childhood putting to canvas his wild daydreams, which exaggerated the world around him into surreal, fantastical sights. He knew these visions differed from reality, but through them, he saw life itself as art. So connected was Huế to the shadows of the world that even his eye color shifted in hue to reflect his mind and mood. Huế expressed this vibrant imagination through paint magic, a medium that influenced the emotions of its audience. As such, it required strict control and discipline, lest it overpower both mental perceptions and bodily sensations. Among its current practitioners, those unable or unwilling to control their art endangered themselves and the community, and were banished from Quehien. Despite these precepts, young Huế indulged his imagination. In a demonstration for the temple masters, he recreated Quehien Sea. As paint flowed around the canvas, however, his control ebbed. Emotion crashed through him, wild and fathomless as an ocean, and he surrounded himself to its beauty. His vision turned black, his last memory, the awestruck masters, drowning. Huế awoke days later, surrounded by his masters, alive, but infuriated. They would not exile the temple's heir, but they stressed his responsibilities. Huế was horrified, but fascinated by the depths of his power, and he craved to see more. Thus, by day, he upheld Quehien's conventions, but alone at night, he pushed the boundaries, driven to explore the extent of his power. In time, this practice focused the intensity of Huế's imagination, allowing him to manifest a palette that flowed with magical paint. Well into adulthood, Huế mastered his craft, and with passion and humility, he prepared to inherit his birthright, surrounded by the respect and affection of his peers. But part of his mind remained forever shrouded at nightfall, and so it remained until the temple received a visiting artist, Kara Jin. Over a gilded summer, Huế accompanied Jin, guiding him around Quehien. They often exchanged their creative perspectives, and, respecting their differences, Huế recognized Jin's virtuosity and valued their time together. But the night before Jin's departure, the man challenged Huế. Jin sensed that the pieces Huế showed others were forced facades, and he wanted to see a real performance. Huế tried to deny it, but his eyes betrayed him, flooded by the years spent creating meaningless art. His imagination begged catharsis, so Huế painted. Decades of practice guided his brush. The night came alive, colored by the brilliant infinity of his mind. Emotions washed over him, harmonious and visceral, and Hui welcomed them. Sharing these forbidden visions for another exhilarated him and illuminated the powers of his art, connection, inspiration, and unfettered creation. Jin witnessed all. Afterward, with eyes alight and tone inscrutable, he said farewell, stating he would be moving on tomorrow to watch the lotuses bloom. At dawn, Hui and his fellow artists awoke to a series of tragedies. First, four historic paintings destroyed. Second, an arrangement of four bodies, the masters that Hui had almost killed in his youth. Third, the fiery eruption of the temple's four lowest floors. Amid the flames, Hui imagined the air electric with color. Everything that lived within him bled outward. It was terrifying. It was beautiful. It was art. Realizing its dark potential of destruction, devastation, and torment, Hui felt the same horror and fascination he had in his youth. The temple quickly collapsed into ruins, with Hui emerging as its only survivor. Exhausted and guilt-ridden, he mourned. Yet his imagination overflowed, reliving every moment of the disaster. During the day, Hui and the villagers from the mill town held burials. At night, he revisited the ashen gray wreckage and painted, his palette taking the shape of Kohyun's crest, the same worn over his heart. On one such night, Hui found the remnants of a trap beneath the rubble, one petaled like a lotus flower. Realizing who'd wreaked this havoc, a cascade of emotions engulfed Hui. Fear, sorrow, betrayal, awe. A question burned within him. Why? But did he want the answer, or would it be safer to suppress this need? He could stay here with his people as their heir, help them rebuild. Or, bearing little more than his paintbrush and palette, Hui left his island and his people behind. In the time since, Hui has learned that the answers he seeks arise through revealing the full extent of his art to others. He tracks down the nefarious individuals in Ionia's darkest corners, unleashing scenes of suffering upon them to understand his own well of pain. Yet he also reaches out to Ionia's victims, fellow witnesses, to create shared tranquility and reflection. Both the relentless artist rising from the ashes and the kind-hearted man from a once peaceful isle, Hui faces the conflicting hues of Ionia and his own imagination. As he spirals deeper into the shadows, he lights a path, mind brimming with possibility. Which shade of himself will triumph, however, is yet to be seen.
Jin, you opened my eyes to so much. I won't spare you from any of it. Ionians know the contrast between light and dark. Where do you fall? Koyan is so far from me now.